Today's guest will give you a peek into the world of machine embroidery, one tiny, adorable jar topper at a time. And from there, the possibilities of stitching fun are endless. Today, I'll have a chat with Kim Christofferson of Kimberbell Designs. Hello and welcome to the Quilter on Fire podcast, where I explore the stories, the connections, and the joy of guests in the quilting world. I'm your host, Brandi Maslowski, the Quilter on Fire, and I can't wait to share this week's episode with you. So here we go. My guest today is Kim Christofferson, the owner and creative force behind Kimberbell Designs. She has been well known in the DIY industry for years with features on national TV shows like Nate Barkus Show and The Rachel Ray Show. In 2009, she started her pattern design company and has accomplished so much in bringing joy to sewists, quilters, and embroidery lovers with Kimberbell Designs. So let's explore the story of Kim Christofferson. Kim, welcome to the show.
Wow. Thank you, Brandi. What a nice introduction. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so happy to have you. And I love to start off the podcast by taking a little look back at where you got started. So when do you first remember putting stitch to fabric?
Ooh, that's a good question. You know, I think oftentimes we may think, oh, she must have grown up in a home that maybe her mom was a quilter, or her grandmother was a quilter. And that really wasn't the case for myself. It was something that I always loved, you know, colors and pattern and design. And I certainly loved fabric, but I didn't really know what to do with it necessarily. And it wasn't until I was married and I went to a friend's home and she had this beautiful large snowman quilt on her wall. And I looked at that and I said, oh my goodness, that is so darling. Where did you buy that? And of course she said, oh no, I actually made that. And my jaw dropped and I said, there is no way I could ever do something like that. And I have to hand it to her because she was the one that I would say got me really going into this, because she said, you know what, Kim, you absolutely can do this. Come on over. We'll meet like monthly and I'll show you how. And boy, now look at what's happened in my life because wow. of a friend who showed me how to quilt.
Yeah. From there thinking there is no way I can do this to now look what you're bringing to the world today. That is amazing.
Thank you.
Did you make a transition from, you know, a different career early on in your life into DIY crafts, or did you kind of juggle both?
You know, that's a great question. Yes, actually, I never thought I would be doing what I do today. I was a former elementary school teacher and I taught fourth grade. And actually, I have a twin sister, identical twin sister, that also taught fourth grade. Oh. And while we were doing that, you know, it was certainly a whole lot of fun. In fact, we even team taught in the same classroom for a couple of those years, which was kind of interesting. But we certainly loved that. But as we started having children and growing our families, it came time to think, okay, I'm going to take a little break from teaching, maybe one day go back to it, but I'm going to take a little break at this point. But I've always wanted that creative outlet still. I still loved to, you know, create little things, just little applique pieces kind of thing. And so I loved to doodle. And I found this group on eBay, of all places, that would make and design projects for children, clothing, home decor, that kind of thing. And so I thought, you know, well, that looks like some fun. And so I created what I would call the personalized name pillow. And people on eBay would win these auctions to have a personalized name pillow with their child's name and their child's bedroom colors on there and fabric. And I certainly love to collect fabric. I was a hoarder of fabric, so I had plenty of scraps, right? And I would create these name pillows. So in the evenings, you know, full-time mom during the day, in the evenings, put the kids to bed, and I would make and send out these pillows that were purchased. Well, one night, my husband comes, you know, home from work, and I was kind of an emotional mess. It had been a long day, and I had orders to get out, and I was a little under stress. And he said, you know, very kindly and gently, of course, he said, Kim, I wonder if, you know, I know you're stressed out about these getting these orders complete. Have you ever wondered what it might be like if you took what you knew, you kind of fell back on your teacher, you know, background, and you put what you know into a step-by-step instruction PDF? First of all, I was like, what's a PDF? This was way back when, right? Early 2000s. And so, you know, it didn't take much convincing for me to go, you know what? That sounds actually kind of nice. I could put my expertise into a pattern, so to speak. But this time I want to take very step-by-step, very clear instructions of exactly what I'm doing, because I wanted people to feel like if, you know, they were new to something, I was that friend. I was that friend that was sitting right next to them, telling them through pictures and through instruction exactly how to go to the next step. And therefore, Kimberbell was born. Eventually, I put that PDF out on eBay again, just to see what would happen. And people really responded well to it. They liked the format it was in. They liked that they could make these pillows for their own children and grandchildren and such. And therefore, you know, that just kind of is what started it all. Of course, at the time, I had no idea that Kimberbell would be what it is today. I was just little me, oh my, you know, and I'm just sewing in my child's bedroom. You know, I didn't have a sewing room separate from that. And he's trying to sleep in his crib and I'm trying to sew and make patterns and such. But it certainly is something that I'll never regret. It's been a wonderful ride, and I can't wait to see what it continues to be in the future.
So you have been very well known in the do-it-yourself industry for a long time, along with your twin sister.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about some of the fun shows, projects, things you've been involved with her in the past?
We certainly have had a fun experience in the DIY industry, and I'm so grateful that every road has led us to, you know, where we both are right now, again, still in that DIY industry. But what you're referring to is a little show that we called the DIY Dish. And this was something that we did on YouTube, way back when. It's been a few years. I think we started it maybe in 2012 or somewhere around there. And we did four different seasons of it. It certainly was a lot of fun. As you know, the name implies, it's DIY, do it yourself. So we did, you know, craft projects and sewing projects, quilting projects and painting projects, scrapbooking projects, you name it. If it was DIY, we probably did a show on it. And we would do this once a week. And it was a whole lot of fun, certainly. But because it's on YouTube, you have no idea who's watching, right?
Yeah.
You don't know what kind of audience is out there looking at what you are recording and putting out to the world. And I guess it proved to be something of a success, because we had two different television shows contacting us. I remember when the first show contacted us, it was the Nate Berkus Show. And this was, you know, something that I was floored by. I just could not believe that this national television show would want just little Chris and I, Chris, my sister, Chris and I to be guests on their show. And why? You know, didn't feel like I had enough of the expertise to be on a show like that. And if you're not familiar with Nate Berkus, he was the interior designer, decorator, probably most known for with Oprah. And then he had his own show. So what the producers had in mind is, you know, they liked the fact that we were twins and that we both did this DIY type of stuff. So they said, you know, we would like to do a few things. First of all, we're going to send out a television crew, filming crew, to film you at your homes with your kids and your families. And we want to walk into your entryways, and we would like you to redo your entryway. Oh, okay. So, but there was some catches to that. They sent us, I think it was a $200 check and a bucket of paint. It was sponsored by a well-known paint company. And they said, with this $200 check and a bucket of paint, we want you to, you know, redo this. But here's the catch. We're going to send you both on a plane to Round Top, Texas. Now, if anyone's listening to this out there and are familiar with antique shows, yeah, you know that Round Top, Texas is the place to be for searching for all kinds of real good antique type things, right? So they got us on a plane. They split us into our two groups. I had my group with a filming crew, and then she had her group with a filming crew. And with that $200 in hand, we each had to, negotiate a little bit with those antique dealers and see what we could bring in to decorate our own entryways. And then, of course, paint color and such played a role as well. Then what we did, so we couldn't see what each other was doing. Yeah. So that was kind of the little hook, right? They wanted to surprise the audience and each other with what we ended up buying at that Round Top Texas Antique Show. So what they did is after we filmed that, they sent all of the furniture and all of the wall hangings and the picture frames and everything to New York, where they recreated each of our entryways on their set, the Nate Berkus set. Then they brought us and they painted the walls and the whole thing. Then they brought us out at the same time so that we could see each other's sets that we had created. And what do you know, Brandy, we basically had the same entryway. I guess that's the twin thing, right? I don't know. But we basically, I mean, that's what Nate just really got a kick out of and each other. We just said, are you kidding me? Hers was so much like mine and vice versa. So that's how that show ended up happening. It was a whole lot of fun. Really nerve-wracking. National television is not my thing, but it sure was a good experience. And then a few months later, you mentioned in the intro that we were on the Rachel Ray Show. Yeah. Now, what's funny about that is several months had gone by, maybe 6 or so months had gone by. And one day we get a call from the producer of the Rachel Ray Show. And I actually thought at this point, this was a joke. Someone was pranking me, because why in the world would a cooking show be calling Kim and Chris? Let me just say, you know, we don't cook, we sew, we quilt, we do those kinds of things. We don't cook. Yeah. So I did say to the producer, I'm thinking, yeah, right, this is a joke. Who's pranking me? And I said, well, this is a fun idea, but do you realize, like, the DIY dish, because that was what he had seen on YouTube, the DIY dish is actually not about cooking or dishes. It's actually about quilting. And he says, oh, yes, we know, we've seen the show. So he did assure me that that was the case. And therefore, we did go on. What we ended up doing with her is she wanted to have two different tablescapes, one that would use recyclable materials to decorate for a tablescape party type thing. And then one that were all items from the dollar store. What could we do with that? We both came on, came up with our ideas, taught Rachel how to do a few DIY things as well. And that was a whole lot of fun. So,
oh, that is so great. It sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, it was.
Like, so moving on from there, you and your sister had so much fun together. How did your love for DIY projects kind of blossom from there? Eventually, you sort of went your separate ways, right? Not literally, but
in
business. Yeah. But so let's talk about what Chris is doing today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're both in the same industry, which makes it so much fun. Of course, that is the quilting and machine embroidery and sewing industry. Yeah. So, but we have different roles. We have different businesses. For me, it's Kimberbell, and we are mostly a wholesale company, although we have many direct items as well. And we sell to quilt shops all over the world, our items. So we are more along the lines of the patterns, the tools, the fabric design, the events. We have Kimberbell events that are hosted in shops, that kind of thing. Yeah. So that's the Kimberbell side. But she, on the other hand, she's a phenomenal businesswoman and she has an amazing team behind her as well. But she owns a company called My Girlfriend's Quilt Shop. And you can find that in stores or online as well. She has a huge online following as well for My Girlfriend's Quilt Shop. And that's what she does. So it works well together, because we can, you know, talk to each other about the industry and what are the trends and such. We have many of the same friends and colleagues in the industry, but different businesses as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to ask a little bit about where you are in the world. So where are you living now, and who are your loved ones that you share your world with every day?
Oh, well, that's a great question. Yeah. So I am based in Logan, Utah. That's up in northern Utah, pretty close to the Idaho border, and, you know, have lived here for over 25 years. I consider it home. I grew up in Southern California. And my loved ones, I actually am just now an empty nester. Oh, Brandy, can I be that old? Oh, yes, I am. So I have 3 children, and one lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, one lives in Salt Lake City, and one is in Orem, Utah, going to school, working, all kinds of things. So my husband and I truly are empty nesters, and boy, is that a whole nother world. Experience some sadness and some happiness too. There's a good mix of both. And then we have our little Bella, who is a little snorky, and she is by my side anytime I'm at my sewing machine or embroidery machine. She's right there at my feet. So she keeps us, you know, living an exciting life at home, because there are no kids to look after.
Yeah, I am in the same boat. My son just
left.
He just left in December to go to Australia for a year.
Oh.
And so my husband and I are empty nesters as well. And our puppy, Luna, she keeps us in the joy, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. She's your world, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay, so let's talk about how you grew and changed with your style and focus on embroidery over time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, for many years, we started out certainly as just solely a quilting and sewing type of company. I created sewing patterns. We put them out in quilting patterns. We put them out to the world, and certainly enjoyed that. Through the process of going to Quilt Market, I know you've been many times, Brandy, to Quilt Market. This is International Quilt Market, which is a little different than Festival. Market is actually more the trade show side of things, where shop owners, you know, from all over the world attend. And I was at one of these markets. This was, maybe around 2013, just barely into really getting Kimberbell out into stores and such. And one of the shop owners had talked to me, and she said, you know, I love your quilts. I love your designs. I love your appliques. But I'll tell you what, my customers love machine embroidery. Have you ever thought about putting a focus on that, or maybe doing embroidery designs in addition to the sewing and quilting? And I had an embroidery machine myself, but I perhaps didn't realize the deep dive I could take into making machine embroidery projects fun and exciting, and not maybe your typical. I think sometimes we often go, oh, machine embroidery, isn't that like just stitching a little, you know, maybe a hummingbird on a tea towel, that kind of thing. It's just those little, small, full of stitches type of designs.
Yeah.
But I knew the possibilities of an embroidery machine. I knew that, boy, we could create some really amazing projects if we truly put a focus on that area. So for a while there, I was doing versions of both. And when I say I should say our team, because Brandy, just a little side note there, we would not be where we are today at Kimberbell without an amazing team behind the scenes. And I know that oftentimes people will think of Kimberbell and they'll think Kim, but I always often will say, it's not about me, it's about we, because truly it's the team that's making this possible. We've got teams of digitizers and testers and marketers and you name it that make it all happen. So anyway, I digress, but that I just wanted to get that in there because it is important to see that that truly is what has grown the company, is really, you know, being able to trust other people to create these designs. So we did both for a while. And then eventually we thought, you know what? What could we as Kimberbell team be the very best at? What could we give our all to? There's a lot of, you know, sewing patterns and such, and I still love those all. But what could we truly hone in on and thrive and really make, you know, a wow in the industry? And that was machine embroidery. And because we knew, and we had designed things like in the hoop zipper pouches. You know, I mean, did you know that you could do a zipper pouch inside an embroidery machine? And if you've ever worried about, oh, I don't do zippers, that's not my thing. Oh, let me tell you, it's pretty amazing to do a zipper all in the hoop. Or we could do these dimensional projects like a crossbody bag, or we could do piecing in the hoop and quilting in the hoop. We could do applique in the hoop. We could do all kinds of dimensional items, boxes and bowls, and you name it, all on this embroidery machine. We knew we could do it. We knew we could write really phenomenal instructions that have been tested time and time again to give people the best possible experience. And therefore, a few years ago, we just kind of went away with the sewing and quilting. But now those types of techniques all are done on the embroidery machine, which is really exciting.
So before we move on into a great conversation about design, which I love, let's just chat about how did you come up with the business name?
Oh, gosh, it's not too exciting, but, you know, Kimberbell does have a nice ring to it, I guess, yeah. I should say. But yeah, when I was in those early years of just designing that name pillow and a few other little doodles and, you know, things like that, all of a sudden I thought, well, I have a business. I've got to come up with a business name, right?
Yeah.
So I went the rounds of, you know, what could it be? Quilt this, you know, what, quilting something or other, or applique this, or, you know, I mean, all kinds of more general names. And then I thought, you know what? There is a nickname my dad gave me growing up as a child, and it was Kimberbell. And to me, it just kind of was more along the more sentimental side of having a business name like that. And now it's become a brand name, which I think my dad is really proud of.
Yeah.
Because it was something that was very endearing for both of us.
Yeah, very heartwarming.
To add to that, though, I have to say, you know, I have that twin sister of mine, and I think I got the better end of the deal, Brandy, because her nickname given by my dad was Stinker. So there you go. She didn't have as cute as the name. When it came time to name her quilt shop, she's like, I can't name it Stinker's Quilt Shop. It just doesn't have this specialness.
Well, it would have been, right? It would have been really cute to combine them into Stinkerbell, because
we got a new name. I like it.
Stinkerbell Designs. So cute. Okay. I want to dive into this conversation about design. So at this point in your business, you might have people on a design team and you all work together. But when you personally see something in the world that sparks an idea, how do you capture that?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, like you said, we do have a team, and I'm so grateful for that, because what once was just Kim's ideas and that's no stress at all, as you can imagine. Oh, it's a lot of stress to feel like it's all on your shoulders.
Yeah.
But we do have an amazing concept team here at Kimberbell, where we do watch the trends. We do watch and listen to, you know, people's requests. We do look at, you know, what's trending in color and design and home and fashion, even just those kinds of things we bring into, you know, what we're doing. But at the end of the day, it's really about things like, what would I want to have in my home?
Yeah.
What would I want to decorate with for the holidays? We do a lot of holiday type of projects, as I know you know. We love the Christmas projects. We love the Halloween. We love the 4th of July. I mean, we love it all. But we also love just that everyday type of decorating, type of decor. And what would we want to see in each of our homes? And then, of course, knowing our, we call them the Bellas and the Fellas, the Kimberbellas and Fellas out there who follow Kimberbell. You know, we're looking to them to say, what is it that you want to have? And then we base a lot of design concepts on that. So we're very open to, you know, what's happening, but what are people looking for? And then we go with it. For example, you know, we love puns around here.
Yeah.
And I think it's so fun to make a little something big or small that include puns. And so, you know, there was a quilt that came out a few years ago called We Whisk You a Merry Christmas. Uh-huh. And of course, that had to be a kitchen theme, right? Mm-hmm. So when I come up with a theme, or our team comes up with a theme, that's when the brainstorming begins. And that's when you start thinking, ooh, okay, Christmas theme and kitchen theme, let's combine them. What kinds of things would we say or see in a kitchen, you know, Christmas themed area? So that's when, okay, well, we could say baking spirit Sprite instead of making spirit Sprite. It's baking spirit Sprite.
Yeah.
Or we could have something about cookie testers, and we could have something with gingerbread cookies and mixers and, you know, that kind of thing. It all starts to come together. And then that's when the real fun begins, because you start sketching and you start designing. And sometimes that's me, and sometimes that's members of our art team. It's a good variety of people. And then you start bouncing ideas off each other and then forget about it. You could go down a rabbit hole all day long, and somehow you got to pull it back together and go, okay, what can we realistically do with a project like this? It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I love the fact that you love puns. Like early on in the podcast, you already said Kimber Bell has a nice ring to it.
Right.
So that was pretty fun.
You caught that. I love that.
And I always get accused of having so many puns in my podcast because I'm always talking about lighting your fire and quilter on fire and everything fire.
Sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Everything firefighter. But one thing I do love, though, I just want to pull out a nugget from that conversation, is I love that you go to your audience and you get the feedback from them, and you do what they love as well. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's important to me.
Yeah. So you are a designer through and through. So let's talk about some of the other things that you create. Let's talk about the fabric. So you have all kinds of things going on with Maywood Studio.
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well, first off, Brandy, I never considered myself a fabric designer, certainly not even a designer. I go, you know, I would say, you know, I like to doodle.
Yeah.
Consider myself an artist. And I think that was, I mean, that truly is the case. I never looked at myself as someone that, you know, that could draw like amazing, beautiful, you know, paintings or such. And I would oftentimes compare myself to those fabric designers out there that are just, I mean, phenomenal, you know, and I'd go, oh, I can't be that person. I think that's maybe a lesson to all of us, right? Mm-hmm. That we all have something in us that we can give and that we can offer, and we shouldn't compare ourselves.
Yeah.
So when Maywood Studio first approached me about becoming a fabric designer with their company, first of all, I love Maywood Studio fabrics. I've always thought they had just the most top-notch quality of fabric. And the people behind the scenes at Maywood Studio are just phenomenal people. And I truly enjoy that partnership with that company. I believe in their product, their fabric, and of course, their design team that helps us make really beautiful designs. So again, when they first approached me, I actually said, I just kind of shook my head and I said, that is so kind of you to ask. I'm honored. I'm humbled, but I'm not a fabric designer. And I love that their art director there said, Kim, let me help you. We can get you there. And because I had a whole lot to learn. Certainly I could doodle, but really knowing, you know, how the whole process worked and such was a whole nother ball game. So she, shout out to her. She certainly was a big part of that fabric design in the beginning. And now I can't even count how many collections of Kimber Bell fabrics we have, but it really is a collaboration again. And now the early stages, it was myself all the way up until maybe just a couple of years ago. And now we have myself, an art team, an art director. We have, of course, the team at Maywood, and together we try to create the most beautiful and fun collections that you would want for all of your quilting and sewing and machine embroidery needs and such.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about the Kimber Bell Basics fabric and then what's coming soon?
Brandy, okay. Well, you're speaking my language here, because I love fabric, of course. And I love when we have new lines coming out, because it's certainly something that inspires me to keep creating and doing new quilts and projects. So yes, we do have the Kimber Bell Basics. This is something that actually we've had for quite a few years now. It had around about 100 different SKUs in it.
Wow.
Yeah, because we wanted to have all the colors. You know, you can't settle on just a few when you can have all of them and all the shades and such. And so with patterns and design and different tones of fabric, we created the Kimberbell Basics. But recently, just as in like this last month, we did a what we call a Kimberbell Basics refresh. And that is, we took the most popular designs from the original Kimber Basics, we put them in this refresh, but as part of that refresh, we added new colors, new images, new design. And as the name implies, when you have a basics collection, it's something that you can use for anything. So you're not going to have like a specific like Christmas tree on there because that's more seasonal, right? Yeah. You're going to have something like the plaids and the dots and the stripes and maybe some little elements like florals that would last all year long. They're not season specific. And I love that because how many times do we go to make a project? We are so excited about a fabric line that comes out and then half the SKUs have been sold within the first month, you know, and you're going, well, I wanted to do this quilt project. And now with the basics, they will just continue to print and reprint them over and over again, as long as people are wanting them. Right. Yeah. And so it's nice to be able to fall back, well, and to just utilize all year long that Kimberbell Basics. And we're especially excited about this refresh collection because I'm telling you, Brandy, the colors are gorgeous. Every color in the rainbow and then some with all their different tones and variations. It's really a collection to be proud of for our whole team and for Maywood as well. We're excited about it.
I want to say something about this because the colors are beautiful and it's frustrating for pattern designers to not be able to design with fabric because it's going to disappear right away, right? It's going to be off the shelves. It's not going to be for sale anymore. It's nice to use a fabric like this as a designer because it will be on the shelves for a long time, right?
Oh, you're spot on. That's exactly right. I love that it's my go-to fabrics. You know, I've got them all in my own sewing room at home. And I know that I can count on these fabrics being available for a long, long time. And they're beautiful. And they work whether you are designing something for Easter or Valentine's Day to Christmas and even Halloween, because you've got all the colors and patterns right then and there.
And they come in jelly rolls and 10-inch squares and 5-inch squares and all the different kinds of things.
Oh, you name it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So tell us about the two new lines of fabric, the two new designs that are coming soon.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm really excited about this. Shop owners all over the country now, all over the world, have been hearing from their Maywood studio rep about this new fabric line coming in. And of course, these fabrics are going to be available in stores or also online, wherever Kimberbell fabrics are sold. But we have them for the holidays. I love designing small collections for the holidays. Our team truly knocked this out of the park. This one, we've got a Halloween collection coming out for next year, and that is called Pumpkins and Potions.
Oh.
Aha, yes. And I love it because it's not so much like the bright colors of Halloween. Oftentimes we think maybe more like the bright orange and the lime greens and the blacks and the purples and such, which I love. But this particular collection is a little more toned down and a little more what we might call vintage. So it's got a little bit more muted colors of the orange and the blacks and the grays and the creams and such. And it is stunning together. We've also, incorporated, of course, the pumpkins and the potion bottles and such, but maybe some florals you're going to find in there and other icons that are perfect for Halloween. I think you're going to love it. I think you'll love the accompanying projects that go with it as well. We're really excited for that. So look for Pumpkins and Potions coming soon in 2024 to a store or an online store that you love. And then the second one, of course, without a doubt, Christmas fabric is my jam. I think everyone loves Christmas fabric. And the key is, how do you design a Christmas collection that's maybe, well, suited for everyone's taste, right? So I think people are going to love this. Our team, again, they nailed it. And this one is called Quilty Little Christmas. Oh. So I'm going to just tell you, Brandy, have yourself a quilty little Christmas, right, my friend? And I'm really excited about that one as well. It's got more, ooh, it's so pretty. The color combinations is more like cherry reds and some tones of pink in there.
Yeah.
But it's also got some forest greens in there and just some unique color blends of all of those colors. I'm really excited about that one as well.
Yeah, I love it. I'm scrolling through it online while I'm chatting with you.
Oh! And
you really are hitting the trends because with the Halloween one, it's so popular to go vintage and to go a little more neutrals and to put little twists in there that maybe aren't so much Halloween like florals.
Yes.
That's the huge trend right now.
Right?
So you are really doing your research.
Oh,
and this Christmas fabric, when I pulled it up, I just thought, well, this is really nice. It's a softer palette than you'd normally see in red and green. It's just like a toned down version of the reds and greens. So I love it. So if you're listening right now and you want to check that out, you can go to the maywoodstudio.com website and just click on designers and you can find Kimberbell and you'll see everything that they have to offer.
Yeah.
So fun. Yeah. That is so fun. So,
oh, I'm so glad you said that, Brownie. I'm going to take that feedback of yours back to our team because that will make their day. For sure.
Oh, yeah. It's everything we're seeing on Instagram and online. So with everything that Kimberbell offers, you can do piecing and quilting on the embroidery machine. There's so many combinations. So let's talk about that.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I'll tell you what, Brandy, this is one of those topics that actually gets me really giddy because before I knew anything about machine embroidery, of course, I loved to applique. I was that traditional piecer who loved to nest their seams and make sure that I had the perfect quarter inch and that everything would just line up and my points would be just perfect, right?
Yeah.
Of course, that causes a little stress too because you're going, my points aren't perfect.
Yeah.
But I was that traditional quilter. And when I realized that you could piece and you could quilt and you could applique and you could do all these things on my embroidery machine, I was sold. My world of creativity just opened like nothing else. And our digitizers at Kimberbell have truly created, I would say, the most easy and straightforward and successful way of actually being able to do all those things I just mentioned. In fact, this might be a good time to actually let you know that if you want to try your hand at quilting in the hoop, if you want to try this machine embroidery piecing in the hoop that I am talking about, you're like, what is Kim saying? And what does this mean? And how does it work? I would love to offer you a free download. We could send a link to you to put in your show notes to a block that comes from one of our companies under the Kimberbell umbrella called Me Time. And you can find them at metimedeliver.com. So think about, like, we all want to have a little me time in our lives, right? That little bit of time that we carve out to be at our embroidery machines, sewing machines and such. And what they do is they curate these boxes to deliver complete experiences with the fabric and all the themes, the designs and the instructions, and it's delivered right to your door. So they offer a variety of different techniques. Well, one of their programs they offer, again, this is Kimberbell/Meantime. One of those projects they offer is called Perfectly Pieced. Now, perfectly pieced means exactly what it says. When you do these projects on your embroidery machine, the way it is digitized makes it possible to have the perfect quarter inch. You're not going to be cussing and crying, right? When things don't line up, it will line up. And it is amazing how this block in particular that I can send to you is pieced in the hoop. I think it's like a what we might call a square and a square block for this one. And then after it's pieced in the hoop, it stays there. And then the quilting design goes over the top of it. And then you could put, we've seen people put these quilt blocks into pillows and wall hangings and even bed-sized quilts, which is quite the feat, but it can be done by doing it all on your embroidery machine. It truly is a remarkable thing to see and experience. And if you're listening to this and you're going, well, I don't have an embroidery machine. How could I see for myself, right?
Yeah.
How this is done. You could certainly watch our videos on YouTube about it. We have them at the Me Time YouTube page as well as the Kimberbell page. We have some there as well. But you could watch those videos and see how it's done. If you want to experience it for yourself, oftentimes, you know, your local quilt shop, they sell machines. They would love to have you come out and try out a machine, test drive a machine, and, you know, see for yourself how fun this can be all on the machine. So, you know, I love doing quilting. I'm still consider myself a quilter, but now I do it on my embroidery machine.
Yeah. And I think a lot of quilters just didn't realize that you can piece on your machine. You can quilt on your embroidery machine. You can make zippers. You mentioned that earlier.
Oh, yeah.
And of course you can embroider, and you can even embroider down fabric as well, right?
Like applique. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In fact, you will get the most perfect applique you ever did see by doing it on your embroidery machine. And the techniques, even beyond just the applique technique, we try to do fun techniques like how to do chenille all on your embroidery machine. Can you believe that you can do chenille on that machine? How to do fringe on your machine. If you're going, well, what's fringe? Check it out on our YouTube channel, because it's an amazing technique where the threads give dimension to your project. I mean, it's just endless. You can do lace on your embroidery machine. And I never used to be a lace fan. I thought, I'm not so sure if that's for me. And then I tried lace, and I did it with, you know, some Kimberbell projects we put together. And I'm a believer now in lace. I just think it's absolutely stunning. Whether you do lace ornaments or lace, you know, additions to your quilts or your clothing projects, there's just so many possibilities with that machine.
Okay, so let's give a mention of your website and your newsletter. What kind of things will they find in your newsletter?
Yeah. Okay. So you can find more information, of course, at kimberbell.com. There you're going to find a whole lot of products. Many of them are sold through shops. They're sold online. We sell through Amazon. We sell through shops. We sell through direct, in many cases, with our downloads. So you're going to find all of that by going to kimberbell.com. And then if you want to keep, you know, the most up to date on what's happening at Kimberbell, there's a couple of ways you can do that. First of all, we do have a newsletter that goes out, and I would say, I want to say that goes out either once or twice a week for different reasons. There's so many things, good things happening at Kimberbell through our events program, through, you know, downloads, through, you know, any kind of feature project like a quilt that's with new fabrics and such. So we will always keep you up to date through that newsletter. So you can find that at Kimberbell. We also have SMS messaging, which is text messaging. If you want to get just a quick little text alert, we promise not to spam you on that. But if you just want to go, oh, I just want to know what's new, then you can certainly sign up for that as well. But I also have a weekly show called What's New Wednesday at Kimberbell. And you can join me. It's live. With live, you never know what's going to come out of my mouth, right? But I do that every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's where we're located. And so, yeah, I do it live from my sewing studio, and I get to share all the fun things happening that's coming out, things that they can look forward to in their quilt shops, things that, you know, like showing off the new fabrics that are coming out or showing off the new projects that are going to be released here soon, or maybe even going back to older products and giving them a new life again, showing how to, you know, see a different take on something. I do that every Wednesday at 10. I'd love for everyone to join me for that. It's a whole lot of fun. I also get to share on that live video. Again, this is on Facebook or YouTube, I should mention. But I also like to go through what people are posting on the Kimberbellas and Fellas Facebook page, because they share projects that they've been working on from Kimberbell. And I'd like to highlight those people's projects too and give them a shout out and say, way to go, because it really is amazing what they're making. And I'd love to share that on What's New Wednesday as well. So there's a couple of ways.
That's really nice to feature people who are following and loving what you're doing.
Thank you.
And once a year on the last Saturday of July, you have something called Kimberbell Day. So tell us about that.
Oh my goodness. Well, you certainly have done your homework, Brandy, because we are so excited about Kimbermel Day. We just started it this last year. So we're going into, 2024, and just know that I think it's 27th is the last Saturday of July. We've just coined it as Kimbermel Day, and we actually have it officially registered as an official holiday now, where we just celebrate all things machine embroidery, all things Kimbermel, all things DIY. There's a lot of people that participate through quilt shops who are watching us. That day, we did a full day of tutorials and giveaways. And I mean, we gave away 3 embroidery machines this last July.
Wow.
Through some very generous sponsors. We talk about the new stuff that people have to look forward to. And then we do tutorials, free projects, you name it. It's a whole lot of fun. This last year, we had around 16,000 people join us for that. So we're hoping, we're hoping to break those numbers in year 2. We couldn't be more excited. It's just a fun day.
Yeah. Well, I could just see sewists and quilters and embroidery lovers saying to their bosses, I need a day off today. It's Kimbermel Day.
Right. Cough, cough. I'm sick.
Not feeling so well.
Right. Yeah.
I need some, personal creative time to lift me up.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about your YouTube, because you mentioned that briefly, and education is a big feature for you. So you have very good quality instruction about every project you design and release with Kimbermel. So tell us about the step-by-steps and your team there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. There's nothing more important to me than knowing that when someone starts a Kimbermel project, they've invested time, energy, money, you name it. They want to have success, of course. And when you feel success, you're going to do a whole lot more. You're going to feel good about your project, and you're going to just experience what we're intending. And that is that you're going to have joy in the process, right? In the journey. And so education is key. Now, I will be the first to say that our team of testers are phenomenal. They truly take every piece of work that they do and they scrutinize it, and they want to make sure that everything is literally step by step. You're not going to miss a step when you're doing this. And I think that's important to know, that when you start a Kimbermel project, you will be successful because of the step by step instructions that are there, how they're laid out. It's an amazing team that I'm very proud of them for the work and the commitment they are to excellence. And so while those step by step instructions are amazing, we also know that people learn really well through video instruction, visual, right? And so oftentimes you will see additional tutorials for specific techniques on our Kimbermel YouTube channel. So I would invite everyone to check that out as well.
So over all of these years, has there been a pattern or design that's been most popular?
Oh my goodness. Well, so as far as the specific pattern goes, I would say that it has been Cup of Cheer. Now, this is a pattern that was released last Christmas. Of course, it's not old yet. It's still available and people are still making it just as they did, when it first came out. But this is an interactive Christmas Advent quilt.
Oh.
Now, unlike anything you've seen before, this is not a small project by any means, but it is so much fun. It's filled with so many techniques. And in the end, you're going to create this heirloom type of quilt that you will want to pass down from generation to generation. Now, myself, like, most of you out there would probably take a quilt project and go, okay, one and done, right? I made it, check, move on to the next quilt project. But what has been really fun is because so many people have really taken to this idea of creating this heirloom piece, I'm seeing people make 2, 3, 4, even 8 of these quilts.
Wow.
So that they can give them to their family members to have in each of their own homes. So what is an Advent quilt, you might be wondering? Well, I mean, it is truly interactive. So it's this large quilt, and we could, you know, I don't know if you're taking a look at it now, Brandy, but it is truly a piece that you're going to be proud of in the end. And I've seen even beginners be able to tackle a project like this because of the instructions. But every day, there's going to be a new little something that you're going to add or do on this quilt. So some of the elements might include, like, there's a day or two where there's a gift box. It's an applique gift present on the quilt block, but it has a little zipper installed. Now, again, don't get worried about a zipper, the Z word, right? Because the embroidery machine does it for you, right? So there's a little zipper involved, and you unzip it, and now you have a pocket that you can include like a little treat or a note or something like that. There's another quilt block that has a mug of hot chocolate on it. And on that particular day, I think it's maybe day number three, you add, with the help of a little bit of Velcro that's added to your quilt, you add little mini pom-pom marshmallows to the cup of hot chocolate, because therefore now you have completed day three. The houses on this quilt are so darling. They have doors, the front doors, open and shut. And it's all through a technique done on the embroidery machine. So I would say that, you know, if I had to pick one of maybe I would say that this is the current favorite, because it always seems like, you know, these things change. But certainly where this just came out in the last year is definitely a pattern that people are making and having a whole lot of fun with.
Before we move on to the next one, I want to mention that if you go to the Kimberbell Designs YouTube channel, there's all kinds of wonderful playlists, and you'll find a playlist that's called Cup of Cheer Sew Along, right? Yes, so you can actually go and take a look at it before you even buy to see if it's exactly what you're hoping for. So,
oh, Brandy, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, because I wanted to take the techniques that you find in that quilt, break it down to its simplest parts, and say, this technique, if you learn this technique with this particular block, you can use the same technique for so many other projects. So it's really about learning a new skill on your embroidery machine as well. And thanks for mentioning that playlist, because they're all there for you.
Yeah, there's 13 videos there. And so what else has been really popular?
Okay, well, I would say as far as a line of products that Kimberbell has ever come out with, by far, I can say this for certain, our most popular line of products has been our bench pillow series. And I will tell you a funny story about how that came to be. But just to give you a little, you know, preface as to what is a bench pillow, basically the idea is that you have one bench pillow form. It is a 16 by 38 inch size. And you change out the cover for that bench pillow every month, every season, whatever it may be, just so that you have something fresh and new for, you know, that time of year. And what's fun about a bench pillow is because those projects are relatively smaller, right, compared to a quilt, then it's a lot more, it doesn't feel as intimidating, right? You go, okay, I can do this, and I can do this in a relatively short amount of time and have something really cute to decorate my home with. Now, before you think I don't have a bench, how could I do a bench pillow? They also look really cute on couches and benches and beds and even table runners and wall hangings. We've seen people do all kinds of things with them. But what the funny story behind the scenes of how that bench pillow came to be was way back when, shortly after Kimberbell got started, I was making a quilt. And the whole idea was that it was a winter quilt, and it was going to be a row by row type of quilt. So you know how row by row quilts, you make one row at a time, then you sew them all together, and now you have a darling quilt for, like, as a wall hanging. And some of the rows were going to be mittens, and some were going to be snowballs and such and such. So I had already made one of these wall hanging quilts. I made it more in a bright color way, but this time I wanted to show customers how the whole look of it could change if you did it in a darker color way, more muted colors. So I went to make a second quilt. The first row I did had two snowmen on it and a penguin in between them. Now, anyone listening to this might go, oh, and who's followed Kimberbell might think, oh, I know which one you're talking about, because it has been our most popular item. So you got these two snowmen, you got the penguin in the middle, around the outside border are these snowball blocks. Well, that night I made that row and I went, I'm tired. Tired. I want to go to bed. And I really don't feel like making a second quilt. Like I said before, I'm kind of a one and done. When I do the first quilt, I'm ready to move on to the next one. But here I was trying to redo it just in a different colorway. So I get done with that row and I look at it and I go, do I really? Oh, I do. I guess I've got to make it all the rest of the rows of the quilts. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute. This block itself, this row itself would look so cute on my bench. Now, if we go real back in time, this was the same bench that I purchased at that antique roadshow for the Nate Berka show. So there you go. There's a little trivia for you. It was a black bench I had in my entryway. And I said, oh, this would be so cute as a bench pillow. And so then I start saying, is there even such thing as a bench pillow? Like, I've heard of bench cushions, but this is a bench pillow. Is there such a thing? Is there even a pillow form size for this bench pillow? I started researching for the size I had, because of the quilt, it was a 16 by 38. Done, right?
Yeah.
There's no 16 by 38 bench pillow form that existed out there, of course, at the time, right? So I just thought, well, I guess I'll make my own bench pillow form. And then I'm just going to see what happens. I'm going to stop my quilt right here. I'm done. Check off the list. And I'm going to turn this into a bench pillow. And let's see what the reaction is. Let's see what people think. Well, it was a happy little accident or a happy little lazy. I don't know. It was something because that ended up being our best selling product probably of all time, was that little bench pillow. It was done with a sewing machine at the time. We've also since changed it into a machine embroidery version. I think it's called a Whimsy Winter, if I remember right. But soon after that, I knew what was going to happen, because this is what we do as quilters. This is how I feel. If I've got something for one holiday or season in the month, I want something for the next holiday or season in the next and the next. So then I thought, well, I've got this for winter. Now I've got to have a Valentine's one. And now I've got to have one for St. Patrick's Day and Easter and you name it. So pretty soon, and you know, fast forward to today, we have dozens of designs for bench pillows. And guess what? A bench pillow form now does exist out there for 16 by 38, which we're very happy about, because it, you know, cuts out a little bit of time and work for you.
Yeah.
But it certainly is a line that has done really well. And I think it is because it's doable in a short amount of time and you can see, you know, pretty quick results. And it just is so fun to decorate with.
Yeah. And I think if I had a bench pillow in my home, I'd have to clear away the mittens and the hats and the dog That's collars right. from my bench in order to put a beautiful,
right?
But it's a great idea to yeah. have an interchangeable bench mm-hmm. pillow. That would be a lot of fun.
Well, and speaking of, I might just add that some of the things, those bench pillows have really been upgraded over the years, because now you'll find several of them that have twinkling lights inside them. So there's a couple of my favorites. The first one we used twinkling lights inside the bench pillow was called Twilight Boulevard. Oh. And it had these little Halloween houses across it. And it had like little candy corn flowers coming up in the streets. And it has little lamp posts with the sparkling lights in it. And that was our first one to launch a light type of pillow. And boy, has it been popular. People loved, you know, turning off their lights at night and seeing them twinkle. That was certainly fun. But after having a Halloween one, you know what I'm going to say, Brandy, you got to have a Christmas one.
That's right.
Right. So then we did Candy Cane Lane after that. And all of the cute little houses on Candy Cane Lane twinkle. There's a little hot chocolate stand there that have the twinkling lights on it. And that's a whole lot of fun. And then this year, you know, just a few months ago, we released the Nativity Bench Pillow, mm-hmm. and that has been a hit. It's definitely more formal in nature. It's not whimsical at all. It's definitely a more sophisticated look to a bench pillow. and it has the twinkling lights in the sky, and it is stunning. So I invite everyone to check that out and try it out if you get a chance.
Okay, now I'm going to get into a little bit more personal questions for you. Is there a quilt or quilt project in your life that has been most memorable for you?
Quilt or quilt project. If I go way back in time, it might be just like the quilt that kind of initially started Kimberbell, which that one was a Halloween quilt called Home is Where the Haunt Is. Uh-huh. And that's something that came about in another interesting kind of way. When I think back to that quilt, it all started because my sister, who had opened up a quilt shop, it was literally the night before her grand opening of the quilt shop, and she had an empty space on her wall. Okay. Now you can imagine you're opening up a brand new quilt shop, long hours, long nights, no sleep, lots of stress. And she looked up at that wall and she just had nothing else in her to give. She goes, Kim, I don't have another quilt to put up there. And I said, Chris, your quilt shop looks amazing. This is beautiful. It's stunning. Everyone's going to love it. But in her mind, she thought there's just something missing right there. So, of course, you know, being the sister I am, the older sister I am, I'm only older by 2 minutes, by the way. I said, I've got to support this lady. I got to, you know, help those tears to dry, right? You do whatever you can. And so I just said, you know what, Chris, I have an idea. What if instead of having a quilt, because obviously we're not going to get a new quilt up overnight hung on the wall. I said, what if you created it like a mystery quilt? And so I said, we hang a sign up there that says, join us for our mystery. And we're going to teach you every week a new technique and put up this quilt. And she said, well, that's great, but what is it? And I said, I don't know. It's a mystery. and it's a mystery to me, but I'll figure it out and we'll get it up on that wall and we'll teach classes and such. Yeah. So I look back at that time. Of course, that started, you know, a whole lot of fun in quilt shops where people were doing these mystery block of the weeks, we called them, instead of a block of the month. And that brings back good memories because of, you know, how it came to be and where it led today. But in addition to that, that leads me to something that happened right as COVID was happening. And I think this is what then truly gets me to go back and go, you know what, that might have been the most meaningful quilt to me over all the years. And that is because it kind of went back to those early days of having a mystery quilt. So, you know, we plan these things at Kimberbell a year, now 2 years and more in advance. We're already actually planning 2026. And so, of course, we didn't know that COVID was going to be happening in, you know, basically March of 2020. And we had this amazing product that had been developed that we were going back to our roots as Kimberbell. We were going back to that mystery quilt, that mystery block of the week, we called it. And we wanted to do something called Love Notes. Now, this was something that we put out into shops. We had each of the mystery portions of instructions to be delivered each week by a shop. We had hoped that, you know, this would be something that would bring that end consumer into a brick and mortar store. We definitely want to support them. So we launched this idea of this mystery quilt called Love Notes. It came in these cute packages that looked like mailing envelopes so that shops could also send them out through snail mail. Go figure, right? Don't we love a little snail mail still in our lives? Yeah. And it would just be something that would brighten their day. And every week they would get a new one, whether it was sent to them or it was picked up at the shop. And they would learn a new technique, just like back in those days with that Halloween quilt. And they would do it weekly so they could get it done in a relatively short amount of time. Well, it was set to launch, I believe, in March or April of 2020. And then COVID happens. And the world shuts down and shops therefore shut down. And it was a scary time. And in many areas of the country, people were told to, you know, stay in their homes, not gather together. And us as quilters, we love to gather, right? We love to go to our local quilt shops. We love to take classes. We love to participate in all of that. And now we were faced with something that wasn't going to happen. And we thought, what are we going to do about this quilt? Quilt shops are closing or quilt shops are shutting down or, you know, we just wondered how it was going to be received. Well, it certainly couldn't have happened at a better time because now shops could mail these envelopes that had been pre-created, pre-packaged for customers. Shops learned how to get online and do Zoom classes. They learned that, hey, there's virtual options out there. And I think it brought the world together, not this quilt necessarily. It's the fact that we could still have some kind of connection virtually, like you and I are today. I mean, you're in Canada, I'm in, Utah. And now we're like best friends, right?
That's right.
Right? But yeah, it really is, when I look back at that time, it is something that, yes, it was a terrible time for so many of us, all of us, in some way, shape, or form. But I think it gave us opportunity to go, ooh, what can we do within the walls of our own home to still be connected and still experience the joy of creativity?
So bringing joy to people leads me right into my next question. In your sewing, quilting, embroidery world, what brings you joy?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot, not only that comes from, because my world consists of not only what I'm making, but what other people are making of mine or our companies, right? So when I think about that process of making and gifting something special to someone, you're always, when you're doing that, you're thinking of that someone. You're sitting at your machine thinking of, how are they going to react? How are they going to like it? What are their favorite things? What can I, personalize for them? You're thinking about that person you're gifting to. And I think we can all relate to that. That's how I'm feeling as well. And I think that's why our tagline at Kimberbell, which is Kimberbell, experience the joy of creativity, means so much, because it truly is about the process, it's the journey, it's who you're gifting it to, all those kinds of things. And then when I am online and I see the feedback, or I receive the emails, or I see the handwritten letters, I get a lot of mail too, which I'm so, so grateful for. We're making something. It doesn't even have to be Kimberbell. Just that process of making something brings joy to their lives, and it helps people get through times of depression. It gets people through difficulty. They may have had an accident. They may have had a family member die. There's all kinds of things that might take the wind out of our sails. But they sit down at their machine for that few minutes a day, or an hour a day, or whatever time they can carve out, and they create something. That brings me a whole lot of joy to see that it's helping them. And because I know it's helping me too.
Yeah. So great to find the joy in lifting others up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now before we go to the break, the majority of my listeners are quilters. So if a quilter is listening right now and they haven't taken the step into embroidery just yet, can you give us your top few tips for beginners?
Ooh, yeah, I would love to. I think the first thing that comes to mind is a phrase I often say. I say it on What's New Wednesday. People know it. But I say, give it a whirl, give it a whirl, give it a try. Yeah. Like, there's so many things we don't know how to do. Become curious. Because, ask those questions like, how did they do that? It's like myself asking my friend all those years ago, how did you make that snowman quilt? There's no way I could possibly do it. And she showed me. I want people to, be curious about it. Go to YouTube. Find channels that offer these, tutorials. Do your research. Contact your local quilt shop. I know they would want to help you bring a new person into this world of a whole lot of fun. I would say another tip is, don't be overwhelmed by it. We often use now a new vocabulary, so to speak. We're talking about words like stabilizers and in the hoop and jump stitches and, you name it. And it might sound a little daunting, but I promise you, it's so fun and it's so easy once you just kind of take the, what if I fail kind of mentality and change that mindset to be like, what if I thrive? What if this is something that I actually end up loving? And I think you will. So, you know, don't be overwhelmed. Give yourself some grace on learning new techniques and just new things. I mean, it can be as easy as like downloading that free block and trying it out. I would also say to just trust the instructions. Trust that our testers and our team have really thought through all of it and are going, okay, how can we make this easy for the beginner as well as the experienced person? And to start small. Don't think that, you know, oh, well, I have to have a top of the line embroidery machine to do any of these projects, and that's going to cost me so many dollars, right? You can get a really nice entry level beginner machine for a relatively small amount of money, less than you might think, that has smaller hoops. And those smaller hoops can still do amazing projects. So whether it's like just adding a little something to a tea towel or to a clothing item, or it's finishing that, you know, big project in the hoop, you can do all of it. And then, of course, I would end with just have fun, you know, yeah. Be inspired. Take one step at a time and laugh at yourself and go, you know what? I learned something new today, and just enjoy the process.
Yeah, so much fun. And there's one thing I want to point out on your Instagram that I have really been loving. It's those tiny little jar toppers. They're so cute.
Aren't they though?
Yeah. Those can be done in a small hoop, I bet.
They can be done in a small hoop, and they're so giftable. I think, you know, if I was brand new to machine embroidery, the first thing I would look for is what is giftable, what can be done in a 4x4. That's one of the smaller hoops with a machine. What can be done on that. And it's fun to see the possibilities because boy, you're going to get hooked just by doing those smaller projects. And then that gives you the motivation and, you know, encouragement, you know, to say, oh, okay, I did that. I think I could try something a little bigger. So start small.
Yeah. And I remember I was at my retreat one time that I host each year. And one of my retreaters said to me, how did you get that fabric? Like you have fabric on the retreat bag and then you have embroidery around the fabric. And how is the fabric in the middle? And how is there no fabric on the outside?
Right.
And I said, you know what? It's just a little stitch around the edge and the machine does that for you. And then it, you know, does the satin stitch over top and it's so easy, you know.
It is.
So it's the unknown that might be preventing you from going ahead and trying it. And once you try it and you realize how it's done, it's not that
Brandy,
difficult.
I couldn't have said that better myself. That is so true. It is the unknown. And it's that idea like, this seems overwhelming. Just jump in, try it, give it a whirl.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you'll be a master embroiderer, right?
Yeah. Okay. So those were great embroidery tips, Kim. Thank you. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk all about Kim's studio space. And I'm so excited. I'm so excited to hear about what's coming soon with Kimberbell Designs. And we'll be right back. Attention quilt business owners, elevate your brand with the Quilter on Fire podcast. We've been hitting milestones back to back, like 5,000 downloads a week, over 150 episodes, and we just broke 500,000 downloads for all time. Maximize your ROI by choosing a podcast ad that offers lasting impact. Our ads remain evergreen, reaching dedicated quilters, and your ad stays up for the life of the episode. Promote your quilty business, event, or workshop to thousands of engaged listeners. Email Brandy at quilteronfire.com to make your mark in the quilting community today. And we are back with Kim Christofferson. Now, Kim, can you tell us about your personal studio space? When you get creative yourself, where do you create?
Oh, yes, I would love to. It's my favorite place in the home. You might call it my happy place, right? I think we could all relate to that.
Yeah.
When you can just go into that room and shut the door and you don't care if it's a mess or not because you're just, you know, you got that door there. But there were many, many years that, you know, I spent time, like I said earlier, in my child's room with a, you know, maybe a 2-foot wide desk and he was in his crib and I certainly made time to sew or embroider then. To times when I had to use my dining room table. And now I do have a sewing studio, a sewing space. As I mentioned earlier on What's New Wednesday, I film from there so you can kind of get a little glimpse into it. But I think what my favorite part of it is, oh boy, I think the windows. I've got a lot of bright light. I wanted to have a lot of natural light coming into there so that as I was sewing or as I was embroidering, I could look out the window and just go, you know what? Life is good. Life is so good. And there's certainly hard times, but life is certainly good. So that's what I love about it. When I had some shelves built for that room, I actually I told the carpenter, I said, okay, I actually brought a bolt of fabric and I said, this has to fit in these shelving units. And he was like, okay, I've never had that request before, but sure, we can make that work. So you'll see, you know, in the pictures that I've got some custom shelving. I mean, that was the most important part. My fabric had to fit in there, right? I also have an island there that I love being able to cut my fabrics. And with that island, I have some drawers that I can put all my tools in and, you know, and such. So that kind of keeps it, you know, somewhat nice and tidy. But yeah. And then, of course, I got to have little Bella's dog bed right there because she's got to be right by mama is what my husband says. She's got to be right by mama.
I have my pup's bed right behind me. She doesn't always get to sit in on, you know, these interviews because she'll roll over and yawn and go,
She wants to be the star of the show.
Yeah. Well, she's very vocal when she yawns. It's hilarious. It's like she's trying to say a word like roar or something.
Yeah. Really cute. That's funny.
And what you just said there about the beginnings of your studio when you started out, I can just imagine a little baby in a crib drifting off to sleep to the hum of a sewing machine.
Yeah. That was either a good thing or a bad thing. Sometimes it was bad because, you know, he was cranky and he didn't want mom sewing. He wanted to be on my lap. But then other times, maybe the hum of the machine actually put him to sleep. So, yeah.
Okay, Kim, what is your favorite time of day?
Ooh, you know, I used to be a night owl. Now, I'm 50 years old now. Call me, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm like, is it 9 o'clock yet? I'm ready for bed. You know, I used to stay up till midnight, no big deal. And now I cannot wait to go to bed. And I'm hoping like at 9:30, I'm about ready. Now, it's not always the case, but I try. And if I can do that, then I like getting up early. And I would say that is my favorite time of the day is that maybe 6 a.m. even where, you know, it's just quiet. Of course, I don't have anyone but my husband still there. So he's not making a whole lot of noise, but I do like just kind of that peaceful feeling that comes first thing in the morning. And I feel like I have more energy to just go at projects and get them done rather than trying to stay up all night to get them done.
Okay. And this is a new question that I've added recently, but I'm really falling in love with it. What is something you love to do to care for yourself?
Oh, that is a good question. Boy, eat chocolate? I don't know. I think that's taking really good care, right?
I think a lot of people realize with that question that, boy, maybe I should do something else to care for myself. Oh,
exactly. Well, you know, life is busy. And I think, I mean, that's for all of us. So, you know, no matter what it is, whether you're working full time, whether that's home or at home or in the workforce or wherever, we're all so busy in life. And so, you know, people will say, well, Kim, how do you get things done or whatever? And I say, well, first of all, I don't like, I try really hard, but you know, some things just have to go by the wayside. Sometimes you kind of have to, you know, juggle your priorities there. But what I do find is that if I really want to take care of myself and my mental and emotional health, then taking little Bella on a walk is always a good thing. And going out in the fresh air is always a good thing. But I also love listening to podcasts like yours, Brandy. Now, I am now a listener and I love it. And I love listening to business podcasts, but I also love listening to just, you know, just things about life in general and trying to, you know, do things that will make you happy and such. And so just by kind of breathing in the fresh air, taking Bella on a walk and listening to a podcast, I'd say that's pretty darn good for self-care.
Yeah, I love those things too. I especially love taking my pup for a walk because we live near the wilderness and we just go off leash. We just take her off leash and we enjoy the outdoors. So, okay. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about the big news, what's coming soon. So there's two things on this list that I want to chat about. So
okay.
Tell us about quilting through the seasons.
Oh my goodness. I am so excited about this one. Okay. So think about, you know, when you go to make a quilt, oftentimes it is for some kind of season in particular and some kind of holiday, right? And then as soon as that season or holiday is over, you're going, oh, now I got to take it down. And it's kind of sad maybe. And you got to find another quilt to hang in its place. Well, our concept team put together this idea that what if we had a base quilt? So just kind of a general quilt with maybe a little more neutral colors to it that could be up all year long, no matter the season, time of year, whatever. And then it has interactive, interchangeable elements that you add to the quilt, you know, through the process of buttons or snaps and such, that would then signify that season or holiday. So, for example, oh, and I should mention before I go on that we're calling these ladder quilts. Now, ladder quilt doesn't mean necessarily it has to go on a ladder, although it really is cute on a ladder. We have a lot of images coming out. We'll send your way, Brandy, to show you on a ladder, but it also signifies the sizing of it. So you're looking at, I want to say it's around a 20 by maybe 60 size quilt, if I remember right. And like I said, it's a base quilt. It could go on a ladder, but because of the size, it really could go like on a door. It could go in the hallway. It could go into just those little nooks and crannies that you don't, you know, already have a quilt hanging in. And the base portion of it is just, it's kind of lends itself to maybe a little more farmhouse feel, although not totally farmhouse feel. It's more the coloring. It's more muted, some grays, some greens, some taupes, those kind of colors that would go practically with anyone's color scheme. And then for every season, there's those elements that you add to it. So for example, like there's this vase on there, and that is part of the base of the quilt. And the vase has these leafy vines coming out of it and, you know, a few florals and such. But then when it comes time to, you know, the winter season versus the spring and the summer and the fall, there's elements that are added to that vase that now becomes a new bouquet, so to speak, for that season, right? Or there's like a little bicycle on there. And within the basket of the bicycle are the elements that change. So again, for the different seasons, you're going to have the different pieces that are placed in those baskets on the bicycle. Or maybe there's a little banner that is strung across an area of the quilt that says words like brr, you know, B-R-R-R-R for winter. And then it comes to summer and spring and fall, and there's totally different words to it that you hang on the banner. One of my favorite blocks of it are that there are frames that are done on the embroidery machine, and our digitizers really excelled on this design because the frames truly look like frames. And how they digitized it is so that you could take, again, these elements that are for the seasons and put them behind the frames, the applique frames. So now you have a whole new look for that specific frame for that specific season. Yeah. There's even some mirror fabric that is placed into one of those frames. So it looks like a gallery wall in your home. So it's just, there's a lot of fun techniques, and that is quilting through the seasons. We are so excited about it. And then we have an optional background quilting bundle. Should you want to make this and not have to take it to a long arm quilter afterwards, you can actually do all the background quilting on your home embroidery machine. This is optional, but you can do that through a bundle that is an optional download as well. So we're really excited about it.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And it's coming out in February 2024. Yes. And don't forget to go over to the Kimberbell Designs YouTube channel to see some of the videos that are going to go along with that as well, right?
Yes. You bet.
Okay, so now it's time for the lightning round robin.
Oh, so nervous. I've heard this before. Okay, let's do it.
It's a series of rapid fire questions and it's super fun. So are you ready?
Oh, okay, I think so. As ready as ever.
Okay, what's your favorite tool or notion?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Clear blue tiles. Clear blue tiles is a way to do background quilting on your embroidery machine.
Done. Right. Okay. We didn't talk about that. Do you want to take a second to talk about what it is?
Sure. I mean, I'll just briefly, in its simplest form, it's a marking system. It's these blue tiles that come in all these different sizes for your quilt blocks so that if you want to do background quilting on your home embroidery machine, which is awesome because now you don't have to take the time, the money and such to take it to a longarmer or do it yourself or try to figure out how to do background quilting on your sewing machine. You can do it on your embroidery machine with clear blue tiles, which is the tool. And then we have hundreds and hundreds of background quilting designs. Many of them, the majority of them matching our product lines with the appliques and such. They're just as cute as can be. And you can do it all with the use of clear blue tiles. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah. That sounds like a really cool concept. But let's get back to the lightning round robin. So do you ever have a sewing or quilting escape from the business?
Ooh, okay. You know what? It's something that just happened actually during COVID. We all had this extra time on our hands. And I said, you know what? I absolutely love sewing. I love quilting. I love it all. But sometimes you need a little break, right? You want a little something different. And I wanted to learn something new. So what did I do? I became curious. And I said, how do people make such good sourdough bread out there? And so I found a course online from actually a woman in Canada, and she was teaching how to make sourdough. And I said, okay, I have no clue how to do such a thing, but I tried it. I gave it a whirl. And I said, okay, I'm going to take this class and I'm going to get the ingredients. I'm going to make my own starter. And I failed at first. My starter went, rawr, rawr, rawr. It was not looking healthy by any means. I thought, I'm glad you're not my child that I have to feed because I did not do a good job of feeding that thing. But I eventually learned through my mistakes. And now I'm a confident beginner or maybe a confident, maybe a little bit more expert at making sourdough bread. And it's been fun to make for our own home. And then, of course, to gift to others. I mean, who doesn't want a fresh loaf of sourdough, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Do you have any kind of personal reward system for getting things done?
M&Ms?
That's the same as mine. Have you been listening to the podcast?
Personal reward. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I really don't have a good answer for that, but you know, a little treat here and there doesn't hurt anyone, right?
Okay. What is a skill you'd still love to learn in sewing, quilting, embroidery, anything?
Oh my goodness. That's a good question. Okay. You know, this is one of those, if I could do that, that would be amazing. And, you know, giving myself my own, you know, words of wisdom here, Kim, just give it a try, give it a whirl, try it out, become curious. But I'm telling you, when I see Judy Niemeyer quilts, I'm blown away. And I think I could never do that. But you know what? It's something worth aspiring to.
Yeah.
So maybe absolutely. I'll try it one of these days. I think a Judy Niemeyer quilt would be amazing.
Yeah. So intricate pointy piecing in
curves. Oh, yeah. And lots of curves. But, yeah. Oh, is it gorgeous? Yeah.
Okay. Have you had any weird, funny, or crazy quilting moments?
So many. I mean, what's especially funny is when I'm doing something on live television and I mess up and you have to just go, okay, well, guys, I'm just like you, you know, we have these mishaps and I think you just roll with it, right? I mean, I remember, let's see, the most recent one, well, one of the most recent ones, because I do it all the time. I mess up all the time, but maybe that makes you more real, right? Not to be perfect at it, but this last Kimberbell Day, which was July of this last year, I was showing how to make this little cardinal ornament in the hoop. And I remember even saying, don't cut this ribbon, like be really careful when you go to trim around this cardinal at the end that you don't cut the ribbon that it's hanging from. So, of course, what did I do, Brandy? I cut the ribbon, right? Right there. There's no retakes. There's no going back. And everyone just busted out laughing. And I'm like, well, there we go. I just cut it. But boy, it looks like a cute little bird, doesn't it? Without a thing to hang it by. So it happens all the time. And I think you just have to laugh at yourself, roll with it. Sometimes put your machine in time out, I like to say. If you've had it with it, you go, okay, I'm going to walk away for a day, come back to it. But it happens all the time.
Okay. Do you have any weird, silly, or just favorite collections of things around your home?
Not really weird, silly, or fun collections, but I do. But I'm a believer in artificial plants.
They stay alive, right?
Remember sourdough starter? I mean, Come on. I can't keep things alive. I certainly have a lot of fake plants. And, you know, it's just better for everyone that way, because if I had all real stuff, I probably wouldn't be able to keep it alive very long. So, yeah.
Yeah. And last question is, do you have any furry friends in your studio?
Oh, you know it. It's our little Snorky Bella. And she's a sweet little thing. I don't know. She's getting a little bit older. So I'm getting kind of nervous because she's around 12 or 13 years old now. So She's a little bit slower, but just as sweet as can be. And, you know, yeah, I love her. Little Snorky.
Oh, lovely. Well, thank you for braving the lightning round robin. You did well. Okay. So I've mentioned the website at kimberbell.com where we can find everything we've talked about today. But where's the best place for people to connect with you on social media?
Yeah. So definitely on Facebook, there's a couple of places. Of course, if you just go to the Kimberbell Designs on Facebook, you're going to get our general page that we make a lot of announcements on and such. And that's where you'll also find the episodes of What's New Wednesday. We also have a show called Inside the Hoop that you can see there. And that's with myself, Deanna, and Ginger, the two other ladies at Kimberbell, where we have some fun talking about all things machine embroidery and doing different projects. So you can find that there as well. And so that's our regular Facebook page, but we also have a private group called the Kimber Bellas and Fellas that I mentioned earlier. And boy, that's a lot of fun. People ask questions. They, you know, share their projects. They share what they're doing. And it's just a great community to share, you know, all things Kimber Bell and what everyone enjoys doing. So that's another place. We also, of course, have our YouTube channel for Kimber Bell. And then we are also on Instagram and I can't believe it, TikTok, which is kind of not my generation. But you know what? We have some younger ones around here that go, yeah, you got to be on TikTok. So we're on TikTok and our team puts together some really fun little 20-second type snippets of things and they put that on TikTok. So we are there as well.
Yeah. And I really encourage you, if you haven't heard of Kimber Bell before, which is probably impossible, but if you haven't, please go check out their Instagram and all of their social media. They have so much fun on there. And the Instagram is gorgeous, by the way. I just have to say, scrolling through the feed. I mean, yes. I do a lot of research for my shows. And when I went onto your Instagram page, I kind of got lost for a really long time.
Well, I will let that team know that because they take such loving care of the products that we're promoting. They want it to just shine in its best light. They want it to be beautiful and inspiring. And they absolutely do that through images as well as video too. We have a lot of lifestyle video that is out there so that people can see how it can look in their home. And that team certainly makes that happen. So I will let them know how much you love that Instagram feed because it is beautiful. I will agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now as we wrap up, Kim, what do you want quilters to take away most from our conversation today?
Oh my goodness. That's a great question. You know, I mean, at the heart of it, it is all about doing something, finding a passion. And maybe it's not even a passion. Maybe it's just finding something that can enrich your life, that helps you learn something new. And just because you don't know it now doesn't mean you can't learn it, doesn't mean that you can't experience the joy that comes from it, and to just, you know, enjoy the process. Don't get down on yourself if things aren't perfect. Don't get down on yourself if you think, I could never do that, or I could never be like someone else, like I did with fabric design. I could never be, you know, Amy Butler, who I just absolutely love her fabric design. And I was comparing myself to people like her. I could never do that snowman quilt like my friend who taught me how to do it. Or I could never use an embroidery machine because that sounds complicated. Just let this be that sign to you that says, you know what? I'm interested. I'm curious. I want to know more and just find out. Just find out what you can and have fun with all of it.
Such great advice. And what a really good way to end the show, I think, since you just mentioned Amy Butler, would be for me to ask you a question that I actually asked her.
So let me ask
you this question. With all of your incredible designs, fabric, embroidery, everything that you have put out to the world over the past decade and more, over all these years, do you bring that into your own home? What does your own home decor look like?
Oh my goodness. You know, a lot of people do ask that. And, you know, sometimes I kind of joke and say, it's kind of like the cobbler who doesn't fix his own shoes, you know, because there's just no time kind of thing. But yeah. I am, as time has, you know, as I've gotten a team and, you know, some of my responsibilities have certainly dissipated and I do have a little bit more of that me time in my life. Yeah. I do like to bring in those pops of color. Now, I will say I'm more kind of a neutral kind of gal. I do like the more muted tones, and you will see a lot of Kimberbell projects that are a little more bright and whimsical. And I'm more of someone who likes the base and the bones of my couches and my wall colors and such to be more along those neutral tones and maybe earthy tones and such. But then that's when I love to bring in the pops of color, and I love to bring in the Kimberbell pillows and table runners and quilts in, you know, areas where I just go, you know what, it needs a little brightening up over here. But certainly not as much as I would like just due to time. But, you know, one of these days I'm like, hey, can I go through all the samples that Kimberbell has in our stores and I just do a little shopping through our own samples? Because then maybe I'd actually have a lot more in my house. I don't know.
Yeah. I just want to take all of this home for Christmas and then I'll bring it back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Decorate for Christmas with products that have already been made, right?
Yeah. So much fun. Well, Kim, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
You bet, Brandy. It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you to everyone listening at Quilter on Fire. And especially, Brandy, it has been such a joy to get to know you.
Oh, thank you so much. So that was my show with Kim Christofferson. I love a story of a creative mind who has carved out an incredible career and business doing what she loves. What drew me in to want her as a guest on this show was her Instagram feed, where she was posting these adorable jar toppers from bats to gingerbread and Santa to the latest poinsettia. They are so adorable, especially if you give away homemade preserves for the holidays. I can't wait to see what Kim does next with Kimberbell Designs. And I loved sharing her story with you. Do you want to help me make the Quilter on Fire podcast even better? Leave a review on the Apple Podcast app. Tell me what's helping you, what's inspiring you, what you want to hear more of, or what would put an extra smile on your face while you are quilting. I seriously want to know. So go to Apple Podcast right now and leave that review. I can't wait to hear from you. And finally, my Japan textile tour is a go. I'm so excited. Travelers are now booking their flights and we start our tour from Tokyo to Kyoto on May 19th, 2024. There are spots left, so if you need to check this one off your bucket list, call Judy from Opulent Quilt Journeys at 1-877-235-3767 to book your trip today. Thank you for listening to the Quilter on Fire podcast. Until next time, dream big and have fun in the studio with the Quilter on Fire.